Come on, all over the building. I wonder if you can just stretch your faith right now. I believe we're standing in an atmosphere of miracles. Come on, there is no greater weapon that you can use than your voice. Would you lift up your voice right now? Come on, faith is in the building. Would you lift up your voice? Soto rabaya kataya darabasataya. Come on, you're in a church that believes today that God is still a miracle worker. If you need a miracle in your life, I want you to stretch up your hands and lift up your voice. The miracle working God is in the building today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Truth Church, this is what we pray for. This is what we fast for. The presence of the Lord is in this building today. I want you to reach over and disagree with somebody right now. The Bible says where two or three can agree touching any one thing. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they have need of, but you can begin to pray with them, and God can begin to move on their behalf. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, speak the name of Jesus over their life. There's families being healed, and there's marriages being healed, and there's bodies being healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we speak healing. Let there be the working of miracles, and let the gifts of the Spirit be in operation. In the name of Jesus. How many people can attest that you came to this service this morning saying, I need something from God that only God can do? That's what a miracle is. It means that there is no human effort that can do it. I need God to intervene. If you came today and you need a miracle, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to look around. There are needs all over the building. I want to let you know you're in the right place at the right time with the right God. Your need is not too small and your need is not too great. God is a miracle working God. Now here's what I need somebody to do. If God's ever done a miracle for you, would you just testify by clapping your hands and lifting your voice? What is that? That's a testimony that if God did it before, and I believe the Lord has sent me today with a word, and what has started is going to be completed before the end of this service. I do believe God is going to heal. God is going to deliver. God is going to set people free today in the name of Jesus. You may have walked in today bound, but you're going to leave out free. You walked in heavy. You're going to leave out light in the joy of the Lord. God has come to meet with his people today. Do you believe that? Amen. If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 8, I'm going to hurry. I do not plan to preach long. I typically never preach very long. My goal is to be done preaching before you're done listening. I want you to turn to somebody and say, welcome to the greatest church in Texas. Matter of fact, tell them, welcome to the greatest church in the whole entire world. It is always an honor to be back at Truth Church. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but this is one of my most favorite places in the world to be at, not even just to preach, just to be around, be with the people of this church. I give honor to Bishop Gilbert. I love Bishop Gilbert. Amen. I told him prior to service, I said, we've been praying for you. I love this family. I know it's been a journey. And he said, I do believe that I'm going to see again. I said, I believe that too in Jesus' name. But we have prayed our church, my pastor, obviously, there's just this connection, Pastor Houston, Brother Gilbert, this church, Bogalusa, Denison. But we've been praying for this church, this family, and I'm excited to see what God continues to do. I give honor to Pastor Gilbert, Sister Gilbert. I love this family. Amen. Some of God's absolute best people you get to do life with. Amen. Amen. What a blessing it is for me and my wife, Summer, our family, to know Brother Darren and Sister Ginger. They have been so impactful for so many years. I was talking to a young preacher at North Texas Youth Convention, and we were talking about Brother Darren, just about how encouraging it is, how supportive he is of young ministers and how he gives us chances. And I'm very thankful for that. And I know I speak for a whole generation that says, thank God for Pastor and Sister Gilbert. Amen. I love my friend. Grateful for him. Love his family. Glad that my wife Summer and Oliver are with me. I love my family. And I give honor to my pastor. His church is about to start back at home, but I love Pastor Houston. I would not be here today without him. I know you love him, and I know he loves you. Amen. And so I honor him. Thankful for his covering. Exodus chapter 8, and I do want to tell this church something. I was at North Texas Youth Convention, and you guys would be so proud, so thankful for how the students of this church were praying and seeking God. Every service, without fail, these students were in the altar, and I want to just commend Brother Jordan and Sister Jessica for doing a great job with the Truth Church students. Amen. They're like family to me. I try my best to connect with them many times, pray with them, but I'm thankful for God's hand that's on them. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Now this is, frogs are my wife's greatest fear, so she's going to have to cover her ears for a moment. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house. It's going to get your bedchamber, your room. They're going to be on your bed. They're going to be in all the house of your servants, upon thy people. It's going to be in your oven, your kneading trough, everywhere you turn, in the toilets, in the shower, in the washer, the dryer, everywhere you look, you're going to hear and smell and see frogs. But not only is it going to be where you live, verse 4, they're going to come upon you and upon your people. In Louisiana, this probably wouldn't be a problem. They'd probably just cook them. Not a big deal. If it moves in Louisiana, we cook it and eat it. And we say it tastes like chicken, even if it don't taste like chicken. Verse 5, and the Lord spake unto Moses and said, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched forth his hand over the waters, over the land of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from upon the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord, I need him to take away these frogs. And he said, I will let your people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me when I shall entreat for thee, for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. He's saying, when do you want me to ask God to take care of the frogs? Verse number 10. This verse amazes me. And he said, tomorrow. I know they're in the bed. I know they're in the crib. They're in the oven. They're in the shower. They're in the, everywhere I turn, I hear them, I feel them, I smell them. They're looking on me. They're crawling on my face when I'm asleep. They're all over my children. But I tell you what, I want you to ask God to deal with it. And Moses said, okay, when do you want God to deal with it? And he said, tomorrow. This is the first time tomorrow is mentioned in the Bible. They were living with a plague, and Moses said, God can take care of it, but it's going to be up to you to decide when do you want God to take care of it. And they said, tomorrow. I feel like the Lord has given me a word for this day, and I want to preach to you from this thought, the tragedy of tomorrow. The tragedy of tomorrow. I've asked Tate to come and pray for this service. I want to say happy birthday to my buddy. I'm thankful for how the hand of the Lord is upon his life. Amen. So here's what I want us to do. We're not going to listen to him pray, but I want everybody to lift up your hands and we're going to pray with him. And I believe God is going to use him to pray over this service. And I believe today is going to be a landmark day for Truth Church. Does anybody believe that? Amen. Would you lift up your voice?
Dear God, I pray for this day. Give Brother Drew a word from you and anoint his thoughts, anoint his mouth, and anoint these people of your church, God. And God, let us have a good heart for you. And God, I pray that we would have a good mind for you and that we would have wisdom and for thoughts that we do and things that we do and everything, God. God, I pray that you would work in these people's lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, in Jesus' name. We receive it. We believe it in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you go ahead and mix your faith with it right now? God, I believe you're going to work in this building. Before you're seated, I want to just remind you of what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. It says that the word that was preached did not profit them that heard it because they did not mix it with faith. So I want you to make up your mind right now. I'm going to mix my faith with the faith of the word that's being brought forth, and it's going to profit me. Come on, would you go ahead and just let God know, I believe you're wanting to do something in this building. Come on, lift up your voice. I'm going to mix my faith with the word of God. Today's going to be a breakthrough for my family. Today's going to be a breakthrough for my marriage in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to high five three people and say tomorrow. And you may be seated. Late last night and early this morning, I feel like the Lord dropped something in my spirit. And he said, there are people that are going to be at church today, and there are things that are plaguing them. There are things that have been holding them down, holding them back, and you have put it off. You have procrastinated dealing with it. You have tried to compartmentalize it. You've tried to cope with it, and you've tried to deal with it. But the Lord has sent me, I believe, this morning to let you know you're not going to have to deal with it any longer, because he has come today to deliver you from it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and 8, that is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know today, church, that we serve an unchanging God. So if there's anything you read about him in this great book, he can still do it. He can still perform it. He's still a healer. He's still a way maker. He still puts families back together. He can still open the blinded eyes. He can still redeem you from a life of sin. You are not too far gone. Anything you have need of, he is the great physician. He is bread when you're hungry. He is water when you're thirsty. He is shelter in the storm. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He has never changed. He will never change. If he's ever been anything, he's still that today, and he'll be that tomorrow. Our life is categorized in three tenses. We have our past, our present, and our future. And I made a statement Friday night while I'm preaching to the students of North Texas, and it just kind of came out. I've said it before, but it just kind of came out. And ever since I made that statement, something has just been rumbling in my spirit about this service. I made the statement to those students there, I don't know, 1,200 students that were there on Friday night. I said, I want you to understand something about the mercy of God. The mercy of God is greater than the memory of God. And I do have theology to back this up. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that your sins will he remember no more. I don't know how an omniscient God who knows all things can forget something, but I can tell you this: once the blood of Jesus is applied to somebody's life, he has no remembrance of it. He has no record. But I have learned that the enemy attempts to use our past to imprison us. He attempts to use our past to hold us hostage. There are people here today that you are really not living in the fullness of the potential that you have in the kingdom of God. Because every time you try to step out to be what God wants you to be, you're met with the memory of who you used to be. And you start feeling things like guilt and shame and condemnation. But I want to let you know there is a crypt tonight to the condemnation of the enemy, and that is repentance. I know we talk a lot about repentance in the initial stages of somebody receiving salvation, and rightfully so. The only way to be saved is you must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. That's God's salvation. But I want to tell you, repentance is not just for conversion. You can repent over and over and over. Over again. But I do believe there are times that we don't really grasp the true power and depth of repentance. And the reason the enemy fights and pushes back against repentance so much is he really has no counter to it. There's something about the mercy of God that Satan cannot truly grasp because he's never experienced it. The Bible says when he tried to ascend to the throne of God and be like God, the Bible says that he fell like lightning from heaven. He was kicked down and a third of the angels went with him. He never really got to experience what it's like to make a mistake, to sin, and come before the throne of God and say, God, I want you to forgive me, and have the blood of Jesus wash over him. That's why he thought when he tempted Adam and Eve into sinning and disobeying the commandment of God, that's why he thought what happened to him was going to happen to them. But what he did not have in his arsenal was God showing up with a robe of redemption and letting Adam and Eve know, I've not come to destroy you. I've come to deliver you. I'm telling you, even so much in the New Testament, when they crucified Jesus, hell started throwing a party and they thought they had won. And the Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, because he doesn't understand the power of the mercy of God. I'm telling you, you cannot exhaust the mercy of God. In fact, the Bible says it like this: our God is rich in mercy. Now, rich is a relative term. To a homeless man, if you have a house, you're rich. But if you're truly rich, just say like a billionaire rich. That's a different kind of rich. But I wonder how much does it take for a God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? What does it take for rich to be applied to something that involves God, who owns everything, who created everything, who supplies everything? But the Bible says his greatest resource is mercy. He is rich in mercy. I'm telling somebody, no matter how many times you've fallen, there's mercy for you. The Bible says there is multitudes of mercy. You can experience the mercy of God today. Somebody shout mercy.
Mercy.
Come on, if you're thankful for the mercy of God, I want you to put your hands together. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Psalm 136. And if you read it, it's 26 verses of different miracles the Lord has done. It would say things like, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, to him alone that doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched over the earth, and he stretched out the heavens, his mercy endureth forever." For 26 verses, it lists miracle after miracle after miracle. But the only thing it repeats all 26 verses was, "His mercy endureth forever," because there really is no miracle like the mercy of God. And so while you cannot change your past, you can change how it affects you today. The Bible says it like this in Isaiah 43. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Verse 18, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins." It's not just an Old Testament truth. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." It's hard to compute this because Psalm 147 tells us his understanding is infinite. But I'm telling you, there's something about the mercy of God that does have the power to override the memory of God. If Jesus can forget about it, I want to let you know, you deserve to forget about it. Come on, there are things that you've already repented of, you've already moved on from, that you need to finally let go of and say, "I'm not that anymore." Here's how the Bible says it. Let me just bring it home for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" It says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners." None of these people, nobody that actively does those things can inherit the kingdom of God. And it would be easy to read that and be self-righteous if you don't do any of those things right now. Lest you forget the next verse. "And such were some of you, but you've been washed." Anybody thankful God has washed you and cleansed you? You've been sanctified. You've been justified. I want you to know you're in a room full of people that have a testimony. "I would have been this, but the Lord saved me. I would have been that, but the Lord saved me. I've been washed. When I got baptized in Jesus' name, it washed away all of my sin."
You know why Brother Trevor's running? Because he remembers the day when he wasn't in this building. He remembers the day he didn't look so nice with a suit and tie, but he's got a testimony. Had it not been for the Lord, which was on my side, I would have been dead. I would have been lost. Never get to the place that you forget what the Lord brought you from. I want somebody to praise him because you have a testimony. The Bible goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I know we know these verses, but I pray it would just be more than something we could quote. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, and I'm pressing toward that which is before me. And in study this morning, the Lord began to quicken me. All of the verses I just read to you were penned by one person. It was the Apostle Paul. We are first introduced to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 7, but it's by a different name. In Acts chapter 7, he is called Saul. The Bible says in Acts 7 that they threw the garments at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. Then it goes on in Acts 8:1, Acts 8:3. And it begins to talk about how Saul was persecuting the church. The Bible says that he was wreaking havoc against the church. The Bible says that he was breathing out threatenings against the church in Acts 9:1. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 that something happened, that the Lord visited Saul. He knocked him down. And there was a great light that shined. And he said, Saul, why? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you persecuting me? And then something interesting happened. The Lord began to work on a disciple by the name of Ananias. And he said, Ananias, wake up. I got something I want you to do for me. And Ananias said, okay, Lord, lay it on me. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go down and I want you to find Saul. And I want you to minister to him. And Ananias said, Lord, is there anything else I can do? I know you know everything, but in case you've been busy, this man has been wreaking havoc on the church. So I'm just wondering, can you just send somebody else there? And the Bible says that God had the audacity to tell Ananias, go find Saul, for he is a chosen vessel. He's going to bear my name to the Gentiles. So Ananias said, okay, here we go. I'm about to die. I hope it's worth it. And so he goes in. And he lays hands on him. And don't ever overlook this. He said, Brother Saul, I know you've been killing the church. I know you've been wreaking havoc on the church. But God has sent me, and I see past your current failure. And I want to let you know in my eyes, you're my brother. I was scared to even come here, but God has sent me here. And I want you to know, you're my brother. The Bible says he lays hands on him. And he gets baptized. But when you go from Acts chapter 9 through Acts chapter 10 and 11, it details Peter's ministry mostly in Acts chapter 12. And then you get to Acts chapter 13 and verse number 9. And the Bible says this. And Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And there is a transition in titles. When we know of a certainty that Saul was filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible changes his name from Saul to Paul. And if you read through the book of Acts, you never see the name Saul again until you get to Acts chapter 22 when Saul or Paul is standing up to tell his testimony. Here's the principle. When God changes you, the only time you should talk about your past is if you're testifying to somebody what the Lord has done. Brother Trevor, the only time you need to discuss what God's brought you from is if you're testifying to somebody to let them know, if God did it for me, God can do it for you. God has come to set you free from the shame and the condemnation and the guilt you've been living under. You're not that person anymore. You're a new creature. Somebody shout a new creature. But I'm going to tell you this. While it would be easy to spend the next 15 minutes preaching about the prison of our past, I have learned that the enemy will use other things to hold us hostage. This is where I feel the Lord would have me to go today. Some of you, you're not bound by yesterday. You're bound by tomorrow. I know that when you live in the past, you deal with regret and worry. But when you start trying to live in the future, you'll start fighting fear and anxiety and worry and sleepless nights, because there's something about humanity that likes to be in control. But I'm telling you, you cannot have the peace of God and control at the same time. You're gonna have to learn to trust God for tomorrow. But the flip side of that is this: what you do today is going to affect your tomorrow. But the enemy is trying to rob you of this moment, because all you can think about is the future, and you keep delaying your decisions to the future. But I'm telling you, God has sent me here this morning to let you know, you don't need to pray tomorrow. You need to pray today. You don't need to get baptized tomorrow. You need to get baptized today. God doesn't want to work in your family tomorrow. God wants to do it today. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 33, thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I want to let you know, with each day, God gives you enough strength. That's why Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, said this in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, but take no thought for the morrow is going to take thought for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Jesus himself said, you need to stop worrying about tomorrow, and you need to capitalize on what's happening today. I'm telling you, church, the greatest prayer you can pray is the one you can pray today. The greatest prayer you can pray for your children is the one you can pray today. Jesus said, take no thought. The Greek word there is translated many times as anxiety in the Bible. Marinamo, it literally means to be pulled apart, to be harassed mentally. And so when Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, he's literally telling us, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't allow the unknown of tomorrow to pull your mind in so many different places. There was an ancient torture system that they would use. It was called distraction. And what they would do is they would tie a horse to one arm, to the other arm, to one leg, and to the other leg. And they would cut the ropes, and those horses would all go in different directions. And it would literally pull people's body apart and kill them. And they called this form of torture distraction, because it would pull you in so many different ways that it would just kill you. And the enemy is working, and there's so much we're fighting in 2024, and the enemy's working overtime to pull us this way, to pull us that way, all to get us to miss what God is doing right now. I've seen people sit in the service and miss what the Spirit is doing now because their mind is elsewhere. That's why the Bible says we need to attend upon the Lord without distraction. Can I remind you that this is the day that the Lord has made? The Bible says it like this. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Paul said it like this in Philippians 6, chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Same Greek word that Jesus used. Most translations translate it. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. Here's what Paul is saying. Don't worry and fear and fret about everything that's going on. Here's the antidote to that. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. Yes, pray about it. Yes, talk to God about it. But do it with thanksgiving. Here's why. It'll shift your perspective when you say, God, I don't know how my family's going to be saved. I don't know how we're going to have revival. I don't know how you're going to heal my husband. I don't know how you're going to save my children. But I'm going to shift from worry to thanksgiving, because then it changes my mind. Because then I'll start to remember, when I look back over my life, you've never let me down. So I'm going to give you thanks that even though I don't see a way, you're going to make a way. Even though I don't know how, you are the God that can do it. Yeah. And here's what happens. You're thanking God. God, I don't know how it's going to work, but I trust you. The next verse. And the peace of God. Something happens when you go from worrying and fear and stress and anxiety to saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to thank you. Then all of a sudden you get something that doesn't make sense. It is the peace of God that surpasses my understanding. You know what that means? When I shouldn't have peace, I've got peace. When my life's in turmoil, I got peace. When the enemy's fighting my marriage, I've got the peace of God. And I want to let you know, it is the will of God for you to have peace in your home. It is the will of God for you to have peace in your family. It is the will of God that you be able to lay down at night and go to sleep. It is the will of God that his people live under the cloud of the peace of God, knowing that he's going to take care of me. We cannot get so entrapped by the past or the future. When God told Moses, I'm getting ready to deliver my people, Moses said, who should I say is sending me? God tells Moses, you tell Pharaoh the I am that I am. There's revelation here. He says, I want you to know, Moses, I'm a present tense God. I'm not the I was. I'm not the I will be. I'm the I am. I am who you need me to be in this moment. And when they begin to sing a moment ago, the I am stepped in the building. Somebody needs to know you can call on the I am. The I am your healer. The I am your deliverer. The I am your way maker. The I am the restorer of peace. The I am that can heal your broken heart. The I am that can deliver you from the wounds of bitterness. I'm telling somebody, God wants to do something in your life, and he wants to do it today. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I understand it's easier to have faith for the future than it is for the present, because it almost seems like this abstract faith. But when you have faith for the now, It's where the rubber meets the road. Somebody's saying, hey, if I don't get a healing, I'm not going to make it. And the church says, we'll pray now. My family's on the rocks. I'm not sure how we're going to make it out of this situation. Oh, I know. We're going to pray now. And God's going to move now. Is there anybody in the building that has some now faith this morning that says, I believe God can do it right now? That if you came in with a sickness, I believe you can get healed right now. If you came in with a disease, I believe God can do it right now. If your mind is all over the place, I believe God can give you clarity right now. If you're living in sin and you need deliverance, I believe the Savior is here now. Somebody say now. Paul said, redeem the time because the days are evil. I have purposed it in my spirit since I started living for the Lord 13 years ago that I'm going to treat every service like it may be my last, because one day it will be. And while I thank God for all of the powerful experiences I've had and days gone by, I'm telling you, they can't save me. But the one I'm in right now can change my life. But here's where the Lord led me this morning, Exodus chapter 8, and I'm going to read it again. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. When do you want me to take this request to God? For you and your people, that God would destroy the frogs from your houses and that they would remain in the river. And I know it was laughable in the beginning to consider that a man being plagued with frogs would say, I want the Lord to do it tomorrow. But how many times have we sat in the presence of God knowing I need God to do something in my marriage? I need God to do something in my children. I need God to do something in my family. And somebody gives an appeal that God is able, but we don't respond and we put it on. And we live with the plague another day. This plague of bitterness. I'm telling you, there's people in this building. You've been plagued by things for a long time. You don't have to be plagued by it anymore. Come on. God's waiting on one decision from you to say, God, I've had enough. This has attacked my family enough. This has affected me, and now it's affecting my children, and I need to deal with it, or somebody else is going to get hurt. I'm telling you, God has come to deliver you from the plague, but you got to make up your mind. I'm tired of putting it off. I'm going to the altar today, and I'm going to make it right. There's some moms and dads that need to make a decision. There's some things we've been putting off, and I'm going to deal with it today. I'm going to pray about it today. I'm going to let God help me today. I want you to lift your hands all over the building. When you study the origin of the word tomorrow, it comes from the Latin word where we get our word procrastinate from. And the first time tomorrow is mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned by an Egyptian who says, I want to delay God's deliverance until tomorrow. The word tomorrow is only mentioned a few hundred times in the Bible, but the word today is mentioned over 1,500 times in the Bible. Trying to procrastinate what God wants to do is an Egyptian mentality. Because I'm telling you, church, the God that we serve is a very present help in our time of need. If you need a healing, you can get it today. If you need deliverance, you can get it today. If you need help, you can get it today. If you need to be saved, you can be saved today. If you need to be baptized, you can be baptized today. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get it today. Because here's the tragedy of tomorrow. It never comes. If you put something off until Monday, say, I'll do it tomorrow. Monday becomes today. Tomorrow is this abstract idea. But it gives us a sense of peace that we say, well, I'll deal with it. Just not today. Kind of like a honeydew. Babe, can you do this? Yes. When? I'll do it tomorrow. It kind of gets you off the hook. All the husbands are like, man, why? Why are you exposing us like that? You getting elbowed right now. Tomorrow's been 5 years. But it kind of gets us off the hook because we're not saying no.
That's right.
We're just saying not right now. But the problem is tomorrow never comes. And there's so many people in this room, you've been carrying things for a long time that God says, when you're ready to be free from it, I'm ready to free you from it. I just need you to say, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. I want you to stand to your feet all over this building. I want you to lift your hands with me. And I want you to tell God, I want you to do a miracle today. I want the music team to come. Come on, we're about to pray. Faith has been in this building since the moment we started. But somebody needs to make a verbal decision. Today is the day. Today is the day. I want to ask you a simple question. Why wait for tomorrow for something God can do for you today? Here's why. Most of the time, Brother Trevor, we just deal with it. Because we learn to cope with things.
Yeah.
That Jesus does not want us to cope with.
Come on.
He wants to set us free from.
Come on.
But here's how it works. At some point, you have to say, enough is enough. Well, what are they going to think about me? I don't care. I need a miracle. What are they going to say about me? I don't care. I need a miracle. Or what are my family going to say? I don't care. I need a miracle.
Telling you, I feel the spirit of Bartimaeus in this room who was sitting on the side of the road, and he said, Jesus is coming by. And Brother Trevor, he started yelling out, have mercy on me. They said, you need to be quiet. Bartimaeus said, but if I'm quiet, I'll stay blind. And you're telling me to be quiet because your eyeballs work great, but I'm blind. So I'm going to lift my voice, and when I do, God's going to step in and give me a miracle. I'm telling somebody, I wouldn't let anybody tell me to be quiet. I would be like Bartimaeus and say, today is my day for a miracle.
Because I'm telling you right now, had Bartimaeus stayed quiet, he'd have stayed blind. Here's how I know. Because the Bible says, Jesus was passing by. Jesus would have passed him by. Bartimaeus' voice stopped Jesus in his tracks. Your voice today has the power to get heaven's attention. Here's how I know that. Romans chapter 8 says it like this. We have not received the spirit of fear again unto bondage, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Listen to me. Brother Darren, though you got a lot of kids, you could put them in a room with 500 other kids. And if Creed, Tate, Amaris, Quinn, any of those, they start hollering, you're going to know that's one of my babies. Why? Because there's something about the ear of a father or the ear of a mother that knows that's my child. And Paul said, we have this spirit where when we begin to cry, Abba, Father, which would be modern day, Daddy, Daddy, I need you to help me. Father, I need you to help me. The Bible says it gets his attention because no good father ignores the cry of a child. But you got to stop saying tomorrow and say today is my day. If you need a miracle in your life, I'm not going to categorize it. I'm not going to box it in. If you came today and say, God, I need you to do something, I want you to step out of your seat right now, and I want you to join me at the front, but I want you to come with the faith that says, today is my day. Today is my day. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, mom and dad. I'm urging you. Don't carry that any longer. Don't just deal with it any longer. God has come to set you free. I want you to hear me for just a moment. I want you to hear me for just a moment. If you need a miracle and you're able, I want you to come forward. Come put your feet next to the platform. Would you come? Would you come if you need a miracle? I need some of the ministry team to get ready to help me pray. Come on, I want you to come. Do I have anybody that believes God can do it right now? Would you lift up your hands all over this building? Those of you that came forth for a miracle, I'm going to pray over you. And when I say in the name of Jesus, I want you to lift up your voice and I want you to begin to call on the name of the Lord. And God is going to begin to do what you cannot do. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe there is some now faith in the building. I release the gift of healings. I release the working of miracles. Let there be an urgency in this house. God, I pray that you would heal minds. I pray that you would heal bodies. I pray that you would heal families right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and shout unto God. Come on, that's it. In the name of Jesus. Today, 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 not tomorrow, today.
I needed someone to rescue me, and mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Oh, now I'm living like I'm forgiven.
today by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away. Oh, now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me.
You gave me beauty from my guilty stains, and now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know
If you're able, I want everybody to connect with somebody right now. There's healing in the building. The Bible tells us there is the ministry of the saints. Right now, the body of Christ, I want you to begin to minister to each other. Come on, there are things God's going to heal us from today that we're never going to have to deal with again. In the name of Jesus, come on. I want you to pray for somebody. Agree with them. I wish a mother would find another mother right now. Come on, the healing virtue of Almighty God is flowing in this building. You're going to be set free today. You're going to be healed today. In the name of Jesus, there's evidence in the building. We're all evidence in the building. This is what God can do. Not tomorrow. Stop putting it off. Have some now faith. Come on, that's it. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Let the body minister to the body. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, you wash my sins. what your mercy did for me.
You gave me beauty for my guilty stains, and now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love. I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away. Oh, now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. Every morning, your mercy will restore me.
Right now, all across this building, before we leave this house today, would you lift your hands? Come on, everybody in this building, from the back to the front, from side to side, one more time, would you lift your hands to Jesus? He's a right now God. If you need something, you don't got to wait till tomorrow. Don't push His miracle off that He has for you till tomorrow, but let today be the day. Let today be the day that things are transformed. Let today be the day that families are made new, that homes are made new, hearts are made new. God, you're able today. Come on, all across this building, would you stand to your feet and would you lift your voice one more time before we walk out of this building? Can we give God all of the glory and all the praise and all the honor that is due to His name? God, I trust in you. I believe in you. God, I place this in your hands. God, I know that you're able to deliver me from the frogs of this life, from the grossness, from this plague that I'm in, this issue of life that I'm in. In the name of Jesus, 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 would you tell somebody, I believe? Come on, would you tell somebody beside you, I believe? If you're in this house and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission, the washing away of sins, today's the day. We got warm water, thanks to Brother Darnell helping us out. We got warm water today. Amen. We got a change of clothes for you. Except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He put off frogs being annihilated till tomorrow. Let's not put off being washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ until tomorrow. Amen. It's not because I said so, it's because the Word of God said so. Except a man is born of water and of spirit, heaven's not going to be our home. For tomorrow's not promised to you. Amen. Not trying to pressure anybody, just stating the fact of the Word of God. Tomorrow's not promised to us, and life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Literally what the Bible says. Amen. And so I encourage you today, if you hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, if you haven't repented, done that about face, do that today. We're going to pray one more time before we leave, but I'm thankful for Brother Drew Galloway and Sister Summer and Sir Oliver that's here today. Please greet my friend. Man, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the influence that you have on young people, upon our lives here at Truth Church. I truly am blessed and thankful for that. Would you lift your hands right now? And I want us to ask God to do what only He can do. And I want us to promise that we'll do only what we can do. Jesus, we love you so very much. God, I'm thankful for your nail-scarred hands. I'm thankful, Lord, for the stripes that you bore upon your back. And because of those stripes, we can be healed and we are healed. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you took a crown of thorns upon your head and you laid your life down on a cross that I might live. Thank you, Jesus. Today, oh Lord, let us realize and understand, as Brother Patrick put so wonderfully in our prayer room before service, Lord, you desire to have a relationship with us. The theme, oh Lord, of the word that we trust in, Lord, is that you desire to have a relationship with us. And God, I'm asking right now that you would transform, you would renew, that you would forgive, oh Lord, those that would ask. Let your word be confirmed today in all of our lives. We honor you and we give you praise. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise all across the building? Come on, let him know you love him. Let him know you love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I want to welcome you back on Wednesday evening. We're going to have a time in the Lord. You're going to want to be here. Special, special service. You don't want to miss it. God bless you. If you're on spring break this week, have a great time. We will miss you while you're gone. If you're leaving, go out of town. We love you. Greet one another. Show yourself friendly. Amen. God bless you. And we will see you on Wednesday evening.